Hello and welcome to this IASB podcast. My name is Robert Bruce and I'm a financial journalist. With me today to discuss IFRS 11 on joint arrangements are board member Philippe Thonjou and Mariella Isern, technical manager. If we can start with you, Philippe. This is part of a bigger picture amongst the standards.
Good morning, Robert, and good morning, everyone. Yeah, this is part of a larger project which involves revisiting or improving the standard on consolidation, which will be IFRS 10, revisiting and clarifying the accounting for joint arrangements, which is IFRS 11, about which we are going to talk this morning, and improving the disclosures around consolidation, associates, joint ventures, etc., which is IFRS 12. So all those three new standards are being issued today jointly. At the same time, we have to do some consequential amendments to IAS 27 and IAS 28. But nothing really new here, just consequential amendments as a result of the decisions made in 10, 11, and 12. So we have a full new pictures of the package of standards dealing with relationship between a parent entity or investor and entities around it, which are either subsidiaries or associates or joint arrangements, including joint ventures. And we are going to explain this morning how those three standards relate to each other and how the puzzle now is made up, which is different from the previous puzzle of standards.
Okay. In that case, Mariella, can you talk us through the main reasons behind this standard?
Sure. Well, this standard started as a convergence project with the FASB, so it's included in a memorandum of understanding with the FASB. However, when we undertook the redeliberations with the board, we didn't focus on convergent issues. We focused on improving the standard on joint arrangements, and basically we focused on two weaknesses that IAS 31 has that was identified by the board. The first one is that IAS 31, the accounting in IAS 31 is triggered by the structure of those arrangements. And the second one is that when those arrangements are structured through a separate entity, then there is a choice. Entities have a choice between proportional consolidation or equity method. So these two aspects are the ones that the board focused its discussions so that we have together a better standard on joint arrangements.
Excellent. In that case, how do all these standards fit together?
Yes, as I said at the beginning, it's about how to account for an interest by an investor in an investee. The investor can be a parent if it has control over the investee, then it will consolidate the investee that is dealt with in IFRS 10. So 10 defines the control. It can be that the investor is acting jointly as joint control over the investee with another investor. Joint control is a way to apply the notion of control, but jointly with someone else. And IFRS 10 is about joint control. Then if you have joint control, the entity under that control is a joint arrangement. And that joint arrangement can be, as Mariella said, either a joint operation or a joint venture. If it is a joint venture, then you have to go to IAS 28 and apply accounting for joint ventures as the same accounting as for an associate, equity accounting. Yeah. Equity accounting now covers both associates and joint ventures. Right. So you understand you have first to look at 10 to see if you have control or joint control, then 11 to determine what is the type of arrangement, and then either 11 when it is a joint operation or 28 when it is a joint venture. You follow me?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the last one which has to be looked at is IFRS 12 regarding the disclosures which are required to explain the nature and extent of the relationship between the investor and the investee. And 12 covers both consolidated entities, subsidiaries, covers associates, and covers joint operations and joint ventures. So it's a common standard about the disclosures.
Okay. In that case, Mariella, what does it all change?
Right, there are a few things, actually. As I was saying before, the accounting in IAS 31 was driven by the fact by the structure first of all, and then when the arrangements were structured in an entity, then the entities had a choice. In this standard, the structure plays a role, but it's not a final role. There is the need of an assessment of which are the rights and obligations of the parties. So the standard is presenting a principle for accounting for joint arrangements, whereas IS-31 didn't have a principle for the accounting. When we have a principle, then we have some work to do, because a principle implies that we need to do an assessment, and as such, well, this requires work, analysis of the contractual arrangements, and conclude on those arrangements to determine whether they are joint operations or joint ventures, which are the two types of arrangements that we will have in this standard. So basically, the main difference first is the accounting will be driven by a principle. The principle is the recognition of the rights and obligations of the parties arising from these arrangements. And when the parties have assessed that they have rights to the assets and obligations for the liabilities, then the parties have a joint operation. When the parties have assessed that they have an investment and they have rights to a net interest in this arrangement, then they have a joint venture. So this is the main difference, is the assessment that the parties will have to do to classify their arrangements. That's the main difference with IS-31.
Yeah. And when the exposure draft was first issued, there was a fair amount of controversy and discussion and general complaints and so on. How have things changed after the exposure draft? And can you talk us through a bit of about the outreach program that you underwent and so on?
Yeah, sure. Yes, that's correct. So there was a lot of controversy when the exposure draft was published. Mm-hmm. And the main controversy is that the ED9 was effectively eliminating proportionate consolidation, and that was perceived as being not appropriate, because entities feel very close to those arrangements, and then therefore they see that proportionate consolidation is a better method to account for those arrangements. What we did is, in April 2008, we presented to the board an analysis of the common letters, and just after that we started calling people and having conference call meetings to understand their arrangements better. What we did after that is we clarified things from ED9, but what we did is getting hold of contractual arrangements, real contractual arrangements, that could basically show us better what are the terms that those arrangements have, and what would be the consequences of those terms in the classification of the arrangements, along with the understanding, the overall understanding of the arrangements. So it's not only just reading the contract. We went through the understanding of the arrangement as a whole with those respondents. So that was an activity that took many months, because we did it with a very wide variety of respondents from different jurisdictions as well, different industries. So it was like a learning process for us as well. And I think it was very positive, because we have brought into the standard many things that we learned from this exercise. As a result of this, we clarify things in the standard. For example, we have simplified the number of arrangements that we have in the standard. So we don't have any more three types of arrangements. We have only two types of arrangements: joint operations, joint ventures. And the types of arrangements are aligned with the accounting results that we have. So we have only two types of accounting results, either gross or net, which is aligned with the two types of arrangements that we have. Then we have enhanced the guidance for the classification of those arrangements, and we have provided more assistance in that sense to respondents and to constituents in general, because that was one of the complaints as well. They couldn't understand ED9 properly. And of course, the standard IFRS 11 is not bringing back proportionate consolidation as it was known, but through the recognition of your rights and obligations, you can end up having assets and liabilities in your books. So it's not preventing the recognition of assets and liabilities if the entities really have those rights and those obligations. And I think the understanding of the principle is key, so that concerns or initial rejections can be eliminated. So it has improved. It has been a tough process, but I think we have shared our thoughts with many respondents, and we have done various circulations of draft documents as well. So people have been informed of what the changes have been. We have tried to clarify many things that were brought, not only related to proportional consolidation, but there were other things that needed polish. Yeah. And that's what we have done in IFRS 11.
Thank you.
And this is why it took 3 years since the start of the redeliberations of the board until now when we are able to publish a standard. But I think 3 years were well invested in outreach and really understanding the concerns that people had.
So when Philippe, just to wrap this up, when does all this come into force? What's the effective date?
Right, the effective date, yes. The effective date that the board has decided for this standard is the same one as for IFRS 10 and IFRS 12. It will be January 1st, 2013. So that is the date from which it becomes mandatory. The board also has decided that early application is permitted. So from any time from the publication of the standard. However, this is provided that the entity deciding to apply IFRS 11 earlier will also consider and apply IFRS 10 and IFRS 12 at the same time, and also the consequential amendments to 27 and 28, which are mechanical consequences of applying the new standards.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mariella. Thank you very much, Philippe.
Finally,
the official disclaimer. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and are not necessarily the official views of the IASB. For those, please go to the IASB website. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.